This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP, a Phillies 24/7 podcast. Appreciate every single one of you that is tuned in right now. And if you tune in, you know, if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Appreciate you. And if it's if you're coming back, of course, I appreciate you as well. And thankful for all of you as we come up on Thanksgiving here in a couple of days. Super appreciative of all of you that tune in. If you tune in at any point, you know, to the show, whether you listen to me, Justin Morgenstein, Dan Wilson, Kyle Forsini, anybody that's done the podcast in the past, really, really thankful for all of you. And we're thankful for you as Phillies fans, listeners, all of that. Very, very thankful for each and every one of you. This does not go, unnoticed to a certain extent. So, Phillies Today episode, there is a bunch to talk about. There's been a lot of news, a lot of good amount of rumors as well for the Phillies and around Major League Baseball. So we'll get to all of it, including Andrew Painter picked by somebody as one of the top contenders for next year's Rookie of the Year award. And I think it's something we kind of forget about. And I know it's going to be a little difficult of a start of the season for him because still coming off that Tommy John, they can take long to recover from, but we'll get into that. But somebody, picked him to be possibly a top contender for that award. Philly zip projections by Fangraphs came out. We'll break down some notable things that I took from Fangraphs projections, Zips projections for the Fightin'. So we'll get to that. And then a little bit of around Major League Baseball later in the show. So we start with somebody that potentially could meet with the Philadelphia Phillies very soon. We have to do an update on him, even though I don't think he's going to be a Philly. You can't ever rule out. I mean, this is one of the biggest free agents and, baseball history. Juan Soto, according to ESPN's Buster Olney, Juan Soto could potentially start getting offers. We start receiving offers this week. And this is coming off of within the last couple of weeks. MLB.com's Mark Feinsand, has, saying that, quote, the feeling around the industry is that Soto's decision could be made before the annual winter meetings that will get underway in just a couple of weeks on December 9th in Dallas. The Blue Jays, Dodgers, Mets, Red Sox, and Yankees have been reported to have met with Scott Boras, his agent, and Juan Soto. Phillies have not been reported to meet with him yet, but those other five teams that are more of the favorites, you know, probably the two front runners being the Yankees and the Mets, they have all met with Juan Soto. So that is an update on the Juan Soto sweepstakes that he will, looks like he'll start to receive offers for a contract this week. It's supposed to be upwards of 600 mil. It's going to be insane. I still think the Mets are the favorite. I've told you guys that the last week or two. Yankees are right up there, but I think it's the Mets just because Cohen is willing to apparently go 50 mil above the highest offer, and I believe that. I believe that when it comes to Steve Cohen. Okay, roster moves. We do have a couple of roster moves to talk about here. Phils agreed to terms on a contract for the 2025 season with right-hander Jose Ruiz, who had a pretty solid season as a middle reliever for the Phils last season, and also backup catcher Garrett Stubbs. Some of you like him, some of you don't like him, specifically probably for his comments after the Arizona series last year in 2023. But Phils are bringing him back. They don't really have much catching depth to begin with. So Garrett Stubbs back as the backup catcher to JT Realmuto, even though his name has been floated around in trade talks within the last week or two. So maybe he's one of like five guys. Tendered contracts. The Phillies have tendered contracts to five arbitration-eligible players, infielders Alec Boehm, Edmundo Sosa, and Bryson Stott, and also outfielder Brandon Marsh, and left-hander Ranger Suarez. So you have those five guys, their contracts tendered. Again, Boehm, Sosa, Stott, Marsh, and Ranger. Even though a couple of those guys have come up with trade talks recently, and we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. And the last one, I think the biggest key and the one that probably people feel the most emotional about, the club did not tender a contract to outfielder Austin Hayes. And when I say emotional, I don't mean that in a nice way. I'm saying like annoyed. And look, Austin Hayes, not coming back to the team. Free agent now. Look, and maybe I feel a certain way about this because I like the trade at the time. I know a lot of people don't like Dombrowski's deadline trades. I just think it's because they don't get big names at deadlines with Dombrowski. That's what people like. People like big splashes, and I get that, but it's not what you need sometimes. Sometimes you don't need big splashes. Austin Hayes, it was rough here. Look, he had an injury. He had the whole kidney infection. I know he wasn't good besides that, but like, look, I still think Hayes was the right move at the deadline. People don't like that, but it is what it is. That's just how I felt about getting Hayes at the deadline. But Hayes is not coming back, and probably the right move. It didn't have a great couple of months, and again, some of that being sickness, injuries, but just didn't feel right to bring Austin Hayes back. Probably looking at potentially maybe getting an outfielder, trading for an outfielder. I don't know. So those are your roster moves. Hayes, the tender contracts to those five guys, and Ruiz and Stubbs back on contracts for the 2025 season. Matt Gelb recently wrote an article in The Athletic and talking about, you know, Austin Hayes not coming back and what the Phillies are going to do in the outfield and whatnot. But the key takeaway was this quote from the article. Gelb writes, quote, "The Phillies, according to multiple major league sources, have made Nick Castellanos available in trade talks. They've shopped numerous players, namely Alec Boehm and Ranger Suarez, to gauge other clubs' interest." End quote. That is from Matt Gelb in The Athletic, which means that looks like they were reported to have, I think, thrown Castellanos out in trade talks last year. So this isn't necessarily anything new. But look, the names that were expected to have been floated around, rumor-wise, Boehmer's been a big one the last, like, 3 weeks. Castellanos has been right up there. And Ranger Suarez has been more of a hypothetical one by the, you know, I would say a lot of fans because of his contract situation and the way things ended last year. And after they gave Sanchez an extension as well. So Rangers there, and we'll see. I mean, they're apparently one of the top teams interested in Garrett Crochet. I still think it's not going to be Crochet. Or, I mean, I still think the Phils aren't going to get Crochet, but I think it'll be somebody like the Red Sox or the Dodgers. But that's still someone that they're really interested in. They're interested in him at, you know, the deadline. Those are the reports. And maybe Ranger Suarez is thrown in there. Boehm is a positional player. Apparently they want positional players. Maybe Boehm, Castellanos are positional player guys that are ready. So I'm not sure, but these are the guys that have been thrown around. Castellanos, Boehm, Ranger. Anybody out there feel like those guys are off limits for you? Ranger, Boehm, Casty. Any of those guys feel like they're off limits to you? I'm willing to keep Ranger. The only way obviously you want to trade somebody and get value back, but I don't want to trade Ranger just because his contract of situation. Like, we better get someone like a Crochet back. You know, like, I don't want to necessarily just trade Ranger because we're thinking, oh, look at the contract situation. Like, the rotation was the strength of the team last year. And I still feel like Ranger could be a part of that strength of the team and still be a good pitcher. Is he the Cy Young pitcher that we saw last year in first three months of the year? Is that who he is for his career going forward? Probably not, but I think he's still an above average, you know, southpaw starter. I still think he is. So we're not, you know, quite sure what, you know, the injury stuff was last year. We don't know if it was workload. I mean, there's people say that, oh, it was his family because their family was there. I'm not sure, but we'll see. So those are the names thrown around, Castellanos, Boehm, and Ranger, according to Matt Gelb's recent article. Okay, Andrew Painter. Andrew Painter had a phenomenal Arizona Fall League stint the last, what, like month or so. I think he was named the pitcher of the year? I mean, I know it's only, what, like 3 to 4 weeks, but still. Painter coming off the Tommy John surgery. It's a great sign. And recently, on MLB.com Pipelines podcast, Jim Callis, one of the hosts, had Andrew Painter as, then they did like a draft, I guess. They like drafted, I don't know how many rounds they went, but like they on the MLB.com article, they gave each of their top fives. And Callis had Painter as his number three. He had Dylan Cruz, and so did the other host, which I have his name right here. I'll make sure. Jonathan Mayo. They both had Dylan Cruz, who's the number one prospect in baseball. It makes sense. Number two, Callis had Matt Shaw, and Mayo had Bubba Chandler, who's another Pirates young pitcher. You know, they already have Skeens and Jones, but Bubba Chandler there as well.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But then Callis had Painter at number three. He quote said, "I think Andrew Painter is going to make a difference for the Phillies. I don't think we'll see him on the opening day roster. I think they'll break him in, but he's spectacular in shorter bursts than the other guys." And that's exciting. It's exciting to read. And recently, I think Todd Zielecki wrote an article where it was Zielecki or Gelb that had mentioned that the Phillies might need more. Oh, I think it was Gelb, or not Gelb. I think it was Zielecki because he wrote about Abel and Cabrera and drawing a blank on the third pitcher's name that were added to the 40-man roster because the Phillies need a starting pitching depth. And they don't expect Andrew Painter to be up until later in the summer, which it sounds like the same thing that Callis is saying here, is that he doesn't see him on the opening day roster, but he'll eventually make his way to the Phils and has him as a potential Rookie of the Year candidate. I mean, look, Skeens just won Rookie of the Year, and he made 23 starts. So maybe Painter, do I agree with that? Not necessarily, but maybe Painter, you know, they call him up at some point, like maybe like June or July, and get him 15 to 20 starts. So I think that's enough for Rookie of the Year, but it doesn't matter. Like what matters here is, you know, the excitement about Andrew Painter and what he could potentially, you know, the production that he could bring to the Phils already in 2025. That's really exciting. Really, really exciting what Painter can be. He's the number, I think he's 32 right now, and it'll be Pipeline's prospects. Aiden Miller a little higher at 26, pretty sure. So either way, Andrew Painter, just make sure you be careful with him. It's coming off an injury. Do your best to keep him healthy. That is what matters, especially coming off of Tommy John. If you got to break him in and, you know, have him on, which I know Dombrowski and the front office has and the rest of the staff, I know they're doing their job with Painter in that sense. Do your job. But just be careful. It's a reminder to be careful. So there you go. Okay. Phillies Zips projections. So FanGraphs, you know, the website does their projections for each team every single year before the year starts. And they recently did one on the Phillies. I think they have done so far. They have Atlanta, Arizona, Colorado, and Seattle. And they recently did the Phillies earlier in this week. And this is by Dan Zimborski, I love your last name. I don't want to butcher it. Apologize, Dan. But I think he also does baseball reference stuff. So shout out to Dan, I'm pretty sure. But so he wrote up his projections for the Phillies, and I had a couple of takeaways. And some of these you got to take with not necessarily a grain of salt, but a little bit. Well, obviously you do, but also like they have Hayes, and this was before he was, you know, let go as a free agent. They have Hayes and Marsh in the outfield. And, you know, the Phils might make some, hopefully might make some moves this offseason. So you can't look at these necessarily and say like, oh, take this and say, oh, okay, these are our projections. Like, yes, but there's could be, you know, a couple of these key guys that might be moved this winter. So, but either way, this is what I took away from it from both the hitters and the pitchers. So Trey Turner, some of you might not like to hear this because I think because of Trey's contract and, you know, how he's not performed in the playoffs, but who did perform for the Phils in the playoffs in the last couple of years, really, to a certain extent. Trey Turner is projected to lead the team in FanGraphs wind above replacement stat. Take WAR for what it's, you know, maybe you're a WAR person, maybe you're not. I like WAR. I like WAR over some other conventional stats because I think WAR tries to combine some of the, you know, some of the probably most important stats for a pitcher or a hitter and combines them into one statistic. As the end-all be-all? No. But Trey Turner projected to lead the team in F4 this year at 4.1. He was second on the team last year with almost the same exact WAR. And one thing I noticed from these projections is a lot of the hitters, a lot of stuff you would expect. Like Schwarber projected to hit 40 homers. Bryce Harper expected to hit close to 30 home runs. Alec Boehm expected to have like a similar year to last year. Same with Nick Castellanos. A lot of these guys are, at least projections-wise, at least hitters and pitchers as well. You know, nothing surprising here. Nothing super surprising. One thing I will say about Nick Castellanos and the projections here, I know, Castellanos' defense will always bring down his wins above replacement stat, and like you guys know that I like WAR, so I look at that. But I just need Castellanos to be a bit of a more productive hitter. Like, I think Gelb wrote in his recent article that like it counts for something being able to start as many games and play as many games as Nick Castellanos has played in over the last 3 years. And I get that. There's value in that, especially last year playing all 162. But you still got to be productive. You can't be and I don't think Castellanos is a bad player, but I need more production than OPS just above league average. Like a 742 OPS, it doesn't cut it for me with Castellanos. You need to have an OPS upwards towards 800, at least. Like you're a $20 million a year player. You're supposed to be that guy. At least you're with Cincinnati, and that's the type of contract you got. So Castellanos, he's projected for a 103 OPS plus next year, just an OPS 3% above league average. Yes, I like OPS a lot. You probably can notice after. And I know Castellanos puts up power numbers and stuff like that, like the 20 home runs, but I don't know. I just need the OPS to be a little higher. OBP. Like, needs to get on base a little more, man. Come on. So he's projected to have a 103 OPS plus 2025 and a 0.2 F4. It's just not good enough to me. I know the defensive numbers are going to bring it down a little bit, that WAR. But no. I need something closer to 2023 Nick Castellanos. I know the second half he wasn't bad. He was kind of bad. But I need 2023 where you almost hit 30 home runs. Your OPS plus is 112. That was your a season high as a Phil so far. Like we can't have 2022 Nick, 2024 Nick. I know Nick did carry them at certain points, but I need you to be more consistent. Need to be better. So Castellanos, I don't like those projections. Pitchers wise, nothing to, like really talk about. Like Wheeler projected to have a Wheeler like year. Same thing with Aaron Nola. Innings, earned run average, things like that, wins above replacement, everything is supposed to be Wheeler, Nola-like. Rangers projected to have a similar year to last year, and I'm okay with that. Like, I'm cool with Ranger putting up numbers he did last year, but just on a more consistent basis. Like, Ranger is projected to have 29 starts, 365 ERA, and just under 150 innings. I mean, if he's the number four starter, because I think that's the way we feel right now, then I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that being Ranger that way. One last thing is Orion Kerkering is projected to have a good year. Do we think that the Phils try to give Kerkering a shot at closer and maybe try to go the route in free agency and get like a Blake Treinen, someone that's technically not a closer? Maybe they don't trade for a Devin Williams or a Ryan Helsley or something like that, but they give Kerkering a shot at closer? Is there a possibility of that? Is there a possibility? I'm just curious. They're really giving him a shot. And maybe because they were obviously trying to give guys like Alvarado, they brought in Estevez, you know, at the deadline to be the guy. I don't know. Maybe they try Kerkering. Who knows? 129 ERA in 7 innings in the 9th inning last year. I don't know. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. So just something to ponder. Ryan Kerkering, does he potentially become the closer? Is that an option for you, or are you like, no, I want Kerkering as a high leverage guy, 6th, 7th inning, maybe 8th. I don't want him in the 9th as a closer, unless it's you're up 4+ runs. I don't know, just something to think about with Orion, because the kid was still nasty last year. He had a few hiccups at certain points, but still ended the season with overall good numbers, had a 2.29 ERA. In 63 innings, strikeout per nine, just under 11. Like, he was very good over the course of the year, at least his overall numbers were. So I still like Orion Kirkering a lot. Real quick, before we get out of here, a few things to note. There was a trade. One didn't see coming to a certain extent. If you had listened a couple of weeks ago, I had mentioned that maybe the Phillies could trade Bryson Stott for Jonathan India from the Reds straight up. And no, the Royals have traded for Jonathan India. They traded for second baseman Jonathan India and outfielder Joey Weimer. And the Reds, in return, got Brady Singer back. I was surprised by that. Singer had a solid year for Kansas City, but maybe not developing like they have wanted him to, being one of the top prospects a couple of years ago for Kansas City. So there was that. Also, Walker Buehler and the Yankees. Mutual interest. How about that? Walker Buehler just closed out the World Series for the Dodgers through the last pitch. That'd be crazy if it went to the Yankees. That would just be wild. Buehler has had a rough couple of years trying to come off the two Tommy Johns, man. Didn't have a great year this year in 16 starts, 5.38 ERA, but still was able to, he was nails for them in the playoffs. He was nails. So that would be wild if Buehler went to the New York Yankees. That would just be pretty wild. So there is some interest there, according to J.P. Morosi from LB.com. So something to watch as well, as the Yankees are looking for some starting pitching help. Okay, that is going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Appreciate every single one of you. Have a phenomenal Thanksgiving. Have a great holiday. Have a great Black Friday. Have a great weekend in general. I'll talk to you guys soon.